children of the gospel who joined us here on the Easter night, those very busy pastors that have left their many places of abode and have come to be with us. We greet you again in the name of the Lord. Dr. Gardner Taylor used to say, the greater the man, the shorter the introduction. Sometimes you need a strong introduction to prop up a weak preacher. Amen. I tell you what, thank our pastor. Deacon Vaughn, don't you want to come on a little closer to the front? The deacons ought to be down in front here. They could be around the fire. You look awful strange sitting there in the back. Chairman of Deacon Board from Jerusalem Baptist Church. Man. Others that are here with us tonight, we're just very happy to see you, that you've come back to be with us in this meeting. We've been praying that the Lord would meet us tonight in a glorious way and give us another blessing. We know that unless the Holy Ghost comes, there can be no preaching.
Amen.
Amen. I like these deacons up close, because when nobody else wants to say amen, the deacon will. Deacon Vaughn know how to witness.
Amen.
He ain't ashamed to witness. Amen. You see, Jesus sent his preachers out two by two. Sent out one to preach and one to witness. Amen. You know, there are some folks that they can... They can do the hookabuck on the choir song, but as soon as the preacher get up, they get quiet.
Amen.
They get sleepy.
That's a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Amen. They can do some moves that they didn't learn in the Sunday school.
Yeah.
Amen. I call it Baptist boogie.
Amen.
Amen. But when it comes to the word, they can get off a choir.
Amen.
The word.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The word is good even if it cuts up. It's still good. You just draw up your toes and just keep on. My grandmama used to say that the word is sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And it cuts down between the joint, the marrow, and the bone.
Yeah.
Amen. If the word will cut going in and coming out.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of the word, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Amen. That's the purpose of the word, to make us know that we are not living up to where we ought to be. Every now and then, we have to get on tiptoes, don't we?
Huh? Yes, sir.
We have to get on our tiptoes, don't we?
Yes, sir.
And the reason we have to get on our tiptoe is that we're a little sharp. Amen. I'm not going to bore you long. Come on, young man. Let's get together here. We're going to be out of here in just a few minutes. I know Thursday nights, Bill Cosby and the other world and all this other stuff. And I'm aware that the church is in strong competition with television.
Amen.
But the Lord didn't have to let me get here. I've driven across these busy streets of Washington, D.C. today. We could have been cut down in a hail of bullets from the drug dealers, and we could have had a head-on collision. But the Lord guided the stern wheel. The Lord kept us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Somebody Somebody went to bed last night with us, but didn't wake up this morning. Somebody woke up with us this morning. Now their body lie cold. Did I get a witness here? So then why do you think we're still here and not going on? It's not because we've been so good. Not because we've been so righteous. Not that we deserve the blessing that God has given us. He just smiled on us. I thank God for it. God has my own me. He If you would look what's next. The king of Syria was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper, a big man in a bad shape. Can you say that? A big man in a bad shape. Naaman was a big man in the sight of the people of Syria and the king. But because he had the leprosy, he was in bad shape. The leprosy is a disease that starts small and spreads all over the body. The leprosy is a contagious disease. Can I get a witness here? It can be given to another person by personal contact. Isn't that right? The law in the days of the Bible required that a leper call out whenever a person came near him that he was a leper.
Yeah.
And he would cry unclean.
Preach.
Can I get a witness here?
Yeah. Preach. Preach.
But I come to tell you tonight that you don't have to have the leprosy to be in bad shape.
Yeah.
No matter how big a man or woman that you are, if you're in sin, you're in bad shape.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can I get a witness here?
Yeah.
Sin is also a type of leprosy.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Sin starts small, and it spreads all over our life.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Sin. Nobody is born a big sinner. Can I get a witness? Amen. Every big liar started out a little liar. Sin starts small and it grows and spreads all over the body. Well, another thing about sin, like the leprosy, it's catching. It's contagious.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. Come on,
no matter how great a saint you are, if you hang around sinners, sooner or later, they're going to start you to sin it. Can I get a witness here?
Yeah. Come on, witness.
Let me see here. You may be a total abstainer. Mean that you may not partake of alcoholic beverages, intoxicating beverages, but if you hang around with folk that do, sooner or later, you're going to have a little nip.
Come on.
And a little nip will lead to a little toddy.
Yeah.
Did I get a witness here?
Like, yeah. Come on, come on with it, please.
And a
something to whet your appetite around dinner. And then something to help you sleep at night.
You'll end up drinking all day long. Can I get a witness here? You don't hear me. You don't hear me. I said sin starts small and it grows and it's contagious. Well, let me share some else with you. You can have great respect for the truth. And have made a practice all your life of telling the truth. But you start running around with a liar. And before you know it, you start lying too. You see, the habitual liar lies not for convenience, but out of habit.
Amen.
Out of habit. The habitual liar lies so much that they are unable to recognize the truth if they saw it. Can I get a witness? There was a statement I heard once that said that a habitual liar would rather tell a lie on credit than to tell the truth for cash. That's a person in your line, ain't it? You may be a big man, but if you're a big liar, you're in bad shape. Can I get a witness?
Come on, preacher.
Sin is a type of leprosy that will make the choir stop singing. Sin can tear up a choir.
Yes, it will.
Get in the organist and get in the pianist and get in the soloist and get in the director and sin. And all it has to do is start with one person and it'll spread throughout the whole choir. Can I get a witness here?
Come on, preacher.
Sin is a type of leprosy that will make usher stop serving in the church. Sin is a type of leprosy that will make deacons stop praying in the church. I said it's a type of leprosy that will make auxiliaries stop working. And it will make the church stop shouting. Ever you find a church that's not shouting, that's a church where sin has found its way in that church. And sin has taken up residence in that church. And let me tell you something, that the Holy Spirit and sin cannot abide in the same place. But Dr. Watts said, I cannot live in sin and feel the Savior's love. You can, for the love of you, feel the Holy Spirit burning on the mainstrings of your heart if you in sin. Oh, I know I got to get a witness here. Somebody ought to say amen. For Jesus said, come ye out from among them and be ye also separated. We must be a separated people. And I don't care how much money you have, and I don't care how big a house you live in, and how big a car you drive, and I don't care how big a job you hold. You may be a big man, a woman, but if you in sin, you're in bad shape. Can I get a witness here? Socrates said sin is due to ignorance, and that the way out of sin is the way of knowledge. Plato, looking at sin, said, no, said, living is like driving a team of horses. One tame and one wild. And occasionally, the wild horse runs away. And there is a wreck. And sin came along to talk with his fellow Greek philosophers and said, no, said that there is a profound perversity of will in man.
Yes.
He does wrong deliberately,
yes,
cunningly,
uh-huh,
daringly,
yes,
and in the face of right.
Yes.
And he said, until we begin to reckon with that fact, we have not begun to scratch the surface to deal with the parameters of sin.
Yes.
Sin is a terrible thing.
Yes.
There was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he said, good master,
yes, sir,
what must I do to inherit,
yes,
eternal life?
Yes.
He was a big man,
yes,
had plenty of money.
Yes.
Jesus said, you know the law? And he said, I've kept them from my birth.
Yes.
I pay my tithes. I keep the law. I've not committed adultery. And Jesus said to him, said, I tell you what you do. Run home and sell all that you have and give it to the poor.
Yes.
And come on and follow me.
I know.
You know the story. The Bible says that he went away sorrowful,
yes,
because he could not separate himself from his thing.
Yes.
He was a big man and he felt that poverty would not have given him the stature, amen,
yes,
that he had with his money. But what he had to understand was he would have been a big man, but he's in bad shape.
Yeah.
We were talking today about people who tend to think that they are more than other folk,
yeah,
because they have 6 or 8 zeros behind a 1 or 2 in their bank account.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness here?
Yeah.
And they will try to intimidate you with that, to try to make you feel bad. There are some folk that carry their bank book around in their pocketbook or in their inside coat pocket, and they take great pleasure in whipping it out, showing you what their financial assets are.
Yes.
Can I get a witness?
Yes.
But as far as you can take your money, it's to the grave.
Yes.
You cannot take it in the grave or through the grave.
Yes.
It is only good on this side.
Yes.
There is no need for money on the other side.
Yes.
Can I get a witness?
Yes.
I had an opportunity to view the remains out of King Tut's tomb in Egypt. And everything they put in there and buried with him, it was in there when they dug it up,
yes,
hundreds of years later.
Yes.
But they put it in there so he would have everything he needed on the other side.
Yeah.
They put little dolls in there that were supposed to be his servants.
Yeah.
They put little statues of animals that he would have plenty of cattle on the other side.
Yeah.
They put large jugs of seeds in there so he would be able to plant great crops. And they put beds of gold in there that he would be able to recline on, in a rocking chair overlaid with gold, and all of these fine things that they had in his tomb. It was all in there,
yes,
when they went to dig him up.
Yes.
I come to tell you that you might have all of these things, but if you don't have Jesus, you are a big man,
yes,
in a bad shape. Can I get a witness here?
Yes.
King Uzziah,
yes, sir,
was a big man.
Yes, sir.
Uzziah was one of the most popular kings that Israel had ever had.
Yes.
He had fortified the city of Jerusalem,
yes,
against her enemies. He had won many battles,
yes,
in that reign. Uzziah was one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever known.
Yes.
He had invented great modern warfare. He had invented weapons, and he had dug wells in the plains that they could feed water the cattle. And he brought in the first period of irrigation where they could irrigate their crops. And
Uzziah was a great man. He was a great warrior.
Yeah.
But one day, his bigness went to his head.
Yeah.
Uzziah had a practice that was honorable.
Yeah.
Before he would go out to battle, he would always go by the temple.
Yeah.
For the priest to burn incense and pray over him.
Yeah.
Before he would go out into battle. That was a fine gesture, wasn't it?
That's right.
That was a fine a habit, wasn't it?
Right.
But one day, priest was late. The priest was tardy. And Uzziah couldn't wait.
Yeah.
And Uzziah went up into the altar.
Yes, sir.
And began to sprinkle incense on the altar.
Yeah.
And Uzziah lit the incense, and as the smoke ascended, he began to pray. And in the midst of that, the priest came in.
Yes.
And said to him, "King, what are you doing?"
Yeah.
Said that I'm burning incense for the time of prayer. He said, "But you have no business up there. You are in the wrong place."
Yeah.
Uzziah said to him, "I'm the king. I can go anywhere I want to go. I can do anything I want to do." He said, "No, but you can't do it up there. That's reserved for the man of God."
Yeah.
"You may be king, but not up here."
Yeah.
Uzziah got wroth and began to dress the priest down and tell him and bless him out. You know how we know how to get preachers told. But that's a dangerous thing, for let me tell you what happened to Uzziah. As he was blessing the priest out, telling him how big he was and what a great man he was, he broke out with the leprosy.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness here?
Yeah.
And Uzziah died a leper.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness here?
Yeah.
He was still king and was still a big man, but he was in a bad shape.
Yeah.
I get a witness here?
Yeah.
You ought to read your Bible. I shudder sometimes when I hear folk talk to the minister any kind of way and say anything that come up, come out. You ought to go back and read your Bible. See what happened to Miriam when she confronted her brother Moses because he had married the Cushite woman, and she told him he didn't have any business marrying that woman. He knew he was wrong. And he asked her, said, "I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you meet me down to the place of worship, to the temple, to the tent, and we'll discuss it."
Yeah.
And while down there, she began telling him what he had done wrong. And she broke out with the leprosy.
Yeah.
Wow, dressing out the man of God.
Yeah.
The Bible said two terrible things happened, for they banished her outside of the camp for 7 days. Two things happened. They could not go forward because they had to wait for the 7 days for her to come back. And the Spirit of God that had been hovering over the temple, over the tent, it disappeared. Two things happen. The presence of God leaves.
Yes.
And the church won't progress.
Yes.
When the members disrespect the man of God.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I don't care if he's not nothing but a grand old rascal. Don't you ever let nobody push you up to telling them off.
Yes.
Can I get a witness here?
Yes.
That's an awful dangerous position to be in.
Yes.
David was a great king.
Yes.
He was favored in the sight of God. God allowed him to defeat the Philistine giant.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
God gave him victories that were so great that when he would come back with Saul, the young women would line the streets.
Yes.
They would sing, "Saul killed his thousands. But David killed his 10,000.
Yes.
Can I get a witness here?
Yes.
But one day David got too big, and he had 600 or 700 wives and 430 we forget David's great sin was not altogether adultery. His great sin was greed. He was greedy. Can I get a witness? And because it was greedy, it got him into trouble. Not only did he commit adultery, but he also committed murder. Now he's still king. But you know, you can get by, but you can't get away. Oh, I wish I could get a witness here. And Nathan went to David and said to him, David, the Lord told me to tell you, because you've done this evil thing, that the sword shall never leave thine house. Yes. Can I get a witness here? Yes. Because you have done evil, David, you may be a big man, but you now in bad shape. Yes. We go on to his son Samson, and the Bible is full of examples of people who are big men, but are in bad shape. We look at Pilate, who there was the governor over in Palestine in the days of Jesus. He had a big position. Can I get a witness? But after he had turned Jesus over to the mob crowd, he called for a pail of water to wash his hands. But let me tell you something, church. Water can't wash away sin. What can wash away sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He's in hell washing his hands. I tell you, because he then would not heed to the word and of his wife who was trying to help him out. You may be a big man, but let me tell you tonight, if you're in sin, you're in bad shape. Let us hurry on here to our conclusion. We find that our text tonight talks about a man that was a soldier, a career officer, one that had a chest full of metal, one that had a portfolio of victories all over the land of Israel and Syria.
Come on with it.
We find him being one that was respected by the king. But he had a strange condition. This great man had the leprosy. He had the leprosy so bad that he could not fellowship with his family. I can imagine that his wife had to put his meals in a plate and push it under the door and give it to him. I imagine they had to break his plate every time he would finish eating. Imagine that his clothes had to be burned every time that he got ready to change clothes. I can imagine that he couldn't come around the soldiers and he couldn't come around the men of his command because he had a contagious disease. He was still the captain of the host of Syria, but he was a leper. He was a big man, but he was in bad shape. I see here a little girl that waited on his wife. This little girl said that I would that my love was with a prophet in Samaria. I know a man that could do something about his condition. I don't care how bad you are in sin, there's always somebody that can do something about your condition. Can't you see this little girl standing before Naaman's wife, telling her that I know how your husband can get well? And when Miss Naaman went to Naaman, she said, I got some good news, as she talked to him through the door. She said, this little girl said that there's somebody over in her country that can cure you of your leprosy and make you well again. We can have fellowship find this man. He went to the king of Syria and said, King, I need a leave of absence. I need to go over in the land of Samaria, for I heard that there was somebody over there that could cure me of my leprosy. I see the king said, take this letter with you. And he sat down and wrote him a letter and said, give this to the king over in Samaria. The letter said, this is my man Naaman. I've sent him to you that you might heal him of his leprosy. Can't you see the king? When he got the letter, he tore his clothes off of him and he said, am I God that I can kill and make alive again? This man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy. Therefore consider he's seeking a quarrel with me that he might go to war with me. Yes, he did. But when Elisha heard about the king in sackcloth, Elisha heard about there was a man in town with the leprosy. I heard him.
You don't hear.
Said, go down and tell Naaman to come out here. I want to see him. Yes, he did. I see Naaman got in his chariot, six white horses, pulling it down the road, pulled up before the house of Elisha, ran up on the porch and knocked on the door. The servant went in to see Elisha, said, Elisha, there's somebody here to see you. Said, I don't know, but he looks like a big man. He's got a chariot trimmed in gold. He's got rings on every finger. He's got changes of clothes I've never seen before. He's got servants in the chariot with him. He looks like a big man. But oh yeah, he's in bad shape, for he's got the leprosy. I heard Elijah said, tell Naaman to go down to the Jordan and dip seven times and come away clean. Naaman, when he got the message, got mad and went down by the... He said, I didn't come down here to dip in dirty Jordan. We got clean river over in Syria. I thought he would come out here and wave his hand over my head and call on the name of his God. Yeah, I see the servant. I'd do what he said. Yes, I would. Seven is a strange number in the Hebrew language. Seven, the world was made in 7 days. There's 7 days in a week. There's seven colors in a rainbow. There's seven numbers in a musical bar. Solomon talked about seven abominations. Jericho fell after seven priests for 7 days. Walked around her walls, blew their horns seven times on the seventh day. Yeah! Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and he got Leah, worked 7 more years before he made her his wife. The book of Revelation sticks, and seven angels, seven kings, and a beast with seven heads, seven lamps, and seven veils, seven crowns, and seven thunders, a red dragon with seven heads, a book with seven seals, seven trumpets, seven dooms, and seven new things. I'm going down there and dip if I was you. I see Naaman went down in the water. Dip one time in the name of the Father. Came up, you bet his hand. Still nothing had happened. Dip the second time in the name of the Son. Came up, looked at his hand, still nothing had happened. Dipped the third time in the name of the Holy Ghost. Came up, looked at his hand, still nothing had happened. Dipped the fourth time in the name of the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Dipped the fifth time, yes, he did, in the name of the five books of Moses. Looked at his hand, nothing had happened. Dipped the sixth time, came up out of the water. Looked at his hand, still nothing had happened. He started back, but the young man said, don't leave now. Do what he told you to do. You got to run on. Try to make 199, and a half won't do. You ought to go back, get one more time. Glory! Get the seventh time. Came up out the water. Looked at his hand, made it blue. Looked at his feet.
Yeah! tuned in to the voice of the gospel, beaming the gospel in three states to over 100,000 listeners. 70,000 watts of continuous gospel power. KAYT-FM.
Again, 62-704-0630. 3-0.
And until the next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced to tell that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you stand.